We're picking up for the Gemara five lines from the bottom of Kuf Chav Chesam and Beis Imahisatricha Lashemen. So again, we're quoting the Braisa, which said that if the woman, the mother who had given birth, needed oil, then her friend should bring her oil. And we pointed out, should ideally do it biyad. We should do it in a way that was carrying it, that was not going to be the dinder Raisa of carrying, rather carrying it on the palm of her hand, in which case it would be some sort of shinoi. If she can't do that, the Braisa told you should then do it in her hair, right, in Besara, because in her hair also is going to be a shinoi. And if not able to that, and the Braisa told us she can carry it in the normal manner. So now the Gemara now asks, wait a second. Tipuklei mishum srita. Granted, by carrying out the oil in her hair, she doesn't violate the din d'oraisa of carrying, but she did violate b'pashas gemara zemir. Now the din d'oraisa of squeezing out something, squeezing out oil onto something, or squeezing out something in general, is usually Gemara's way, the Tosos, based on the Tosos we've seen earlier, based is mefarik, which is a tolda of dash. So therefore, you're taking something into a material which is absorbed and squeezing it out. That is like squeezing from an olive, which would be the Isra D'Oraisa of Schita. So then again, so over here, by telling her to soak it in her hair and then take out back the oil and give it back to her friend, Papashas, you're not helping it at all by doing a Din D'Rabbanan. She'd be violating the Isra D'Oraisa of Schita. So the Gemara answers, Rabbi Rav Yosef, Darmei Tavayu, Ein Schita Beser. So Rabbi and Yosef both answered that there's no Din D'Oraisa of squeezing out when it comes to squeezing out the hair, since apparently the liquid is not absorbed into the hair, so therefore we're assuming it's going into only the spaces in between. You're not actually doing the malacha d'oraisa of schita. The Rashba just asked a question that is squeezing out the hair isn't a malacha at all, so then shouldn't this be a more preferable way of carrying because it's more of a shinoi? People generally might randomly sometimes carry things in the palm of their hand if they needed to. It's still considered a shinoi because that's the normal derech, but still, this is so far removed, and generally again, as the more of the shinoi that you can do to get rid of the chilul Shabbos, then you should be doing the shinoi. The Rashba asked, why shouldn't that be something that is done even better than the case of the hand? So he answers that really, that even though there's no din d'oraisa, there really is a malacha d'rabbanan, it's an isser d'rabbanan rather, to do the schita beser. So we do assume the isser schita beser. The Beis Yosef quotes that shita. I think we are choshish for that shita to assume that there is schita beser mid'rabbanan, maybe not d'oraisa, but mid'rabbanan. Where it says Ravashi answers a different answer. He says, Ravashi says, afilu tema yesh schita beser. Even if you want to assume that there is squeezing with regards to squeezing the hair, and there would be a dinder, potentially an isser d'oraisa, he's saying, she should bring it in a container by means of her hair. She carries out in a container in her hair. Because as much as possible to deviate from the normal method of doing a malacha, we're going to deviate as much as possible, and therefore, even though this might be forbidden on Isra D'Oraisa, we would still try to stop it as much as possible. Then this over here is just the general klal about doing a malacha. We pointed out yesterday already when we discussed that, the Rishonim point out that if there's any, the deviation is going to create any chisaron in the type of pikuach nefesh that you're saving, then obviously you would not be doing that whatsoever. But in a situation where a person can do the shinoi as best as possible, l'chora, those are the poskim we're assuming that that would be the best thing to be doing. Again, assuming that the words would not affect the case of pikuach nefesh, in the case generally of someone who's giving birth, let's say, we could assume that you wouldn't necessarily need to because she knows about it, she knows how to get to the hospital, things like that, so you should have a goy driver and things like that. That would be the best thing to be doing. However, some say that maybe by other cases of pikuach nefesh, for sure, if it's on the spot, someone has a heart attack, you start saying, oh, it's called a goy to drive, that's obviously going to cause a distraction, then for sure, there'd be no reason to assume that you should do it ayde acher or try to do a shinoi. Okay? So others, however, don't make any chilek between a person giving birth. But again, this is a big shayla in the post. Can we mention Vahashas the Machlokas as far as Mashkenazim, whether, let's say, by a woman giving birth, is it hutra, is it completely okay to do any malach ayde a Jew, or best to try to do it through a non-Jew, whatever can be done through the non-Jew. Now the Gemara continues, Amar Vidomar Shmuel, Chayach, you have a woman who just given birth, Kozman Shaykara Pasuch, as long as the womb is open, Bein Shal Matricha Ani, Bein Shal Matricha Ani. So we're assuming when the womb is open, she's now considered a chola sheish basakana. So whether she said, I needed it, or whether she said, I don't need it. So either way, we're going to assume over here, Machan Lesa Shabbos, that we're going to be violating Shabbos for, in order to provide what she needed. Rashi points out, we're going to say on Kuf Chavos Tes, Rashi over there says that her friends do say that she needs it. Not just Stam, no one says that she needed it. Pashas, you need someone to say that she needed this to be done for in order for to have the Pikuach. Now, actually, the Mishnah continues, however, Nistam Akever, as soon as the womb is going to be closed, then, Bein Amra, turning on to the next Amra, Tricha Ani, Bein Shama, Lo Tricha Ani, whether she says that I need it, or whether she says I don't need it, in Machan Lesa Shabbos, we would not violate Shabbos to provide her for that, because we don't assume that's considered Pikuach Nefesh. Is Rav Mashi Masnehachim. This was Rav Ashi's version of teaching how Shmuel ruled. However, Marzucha Masiach, Rav Bilter said it differently. He explained Shmuel's different version. I'm Rav Dimar Shmuel. I said the name of Rav Dimar Shmuel. Chaya, when it comes to a woman who's just given birth, Kol Zman Shekever Pasuach, as long as the womb is still open, Bein Amar Chizuch Ani, Bein Shama Enotricha Ani, Mechanas HaShabbos. Whether she says I need it or whether she says I don't need it, Mechanas HaShabbos, we're going to violate Shabbos for that. Again, even if she says, I don't need it over here, but her friends tell her that she does need it, or someone says that she needs it, in that case, then according to that, we would listen to her friends against the wills of what she says. So here she's explicitly saying, I don't need it, yet the friends are saying that she does need it. We would listen to them. Mechanas Shabbos, Nisa Makever, once the womb is closed, Amra Tzuchan Mechanas Shabbos, then if she says, I need it, then we would do that malach, whatever malach does needed to be done for her. Lo amra tzuchani in mechalas Shabbos. However, if she does not say, I need it, then we would not violate Shabbos for her, because we would assume that she does not, it's not considered pikuach nefesh. The Gemara says, now amra le'avina le'mar meimar, amar zutra masna le'kula. We have Mar Zutra's more lenient version of Shmuel. V'ravashi masna le'chumra, Ravashi, however, is going to be more machmir than Shmuel. Hilchos HaKaman, who are we going to follow? Who's the halacha follow in this regards? Again, so over here, because we have Marjuta's version is more lenient than Ravashi, because Ravashi is assuming that once the womb is closed, we don't violate Shabbos. However, Marjuta's version is that if she claims that she needs something, we would violate Shabbos even after the kever was sussed, after we assume that the womb is closed. So the Gemara says, Amarle, Alachik Marjuta, the Safik Nefashah Sahaka. We follow Marjuta because we pass in with regards to, we're not sure something about Safik life and death situation, we'd be Safik Nefashah Sahumra. We try to be as machmir as possible when it comes to Pikuach Nefesh. That's how you should follow. And should be extremely machmir. The same thing would follow if there's a virus or something like corona, where a person should obviously suffer because nefesh lechumra is generally the guiding principle that a person should have. The Gemara continues, "Meimas ha'psichas ha'kever." From what point is the considered be that a womb of a woman is considered open? Amar Abaye, Abaye says, "Meshashe teshev al mashper." The moment she sits on the birthing stool, she starts to give birth. That's a shaila. Sidri Tara says that if Lav Dafka is giving birth, we know she's starting the process of even though she's actually physically sitting on like a hospital bed. Let's say Ravuna Bray Devusha says, "Amar Meshashe Hadam Shosis Biora." As soon as she has blood coming out as a result of labor, that's going to be considered. The time when she's starting to give birth. For Amalei Meshashe Chavesu Nosos says Abagufas. I'm saying that when her friends have to pick her up because she can't walk on her own, that's the point, or help her walk, that's the point where she is going to be considered a Yoledis at that point. The Ramban assumes that all these circumstances depend on the woman, meaning that some people have this come first, something this worse, because of Shaila in the Rishonim, which one is considered the earliest one? Psichas HaKever is Machlokas over here. Is the blood before the one is supporting by her arms? Is that after? So the Ramban just says it depends on every woman. Whenever she has any one of these three signs, she'd be considered a Yoledis. Also has Nafkaminas for Nida, things like that comes up as well. The Gemara considers now Arma Saipsich Hasever. When is the womb considered to be open? Rabbi Shlosh Yamin for 3 days. Rav Amar Mishmid Rav Yehuda Shiva. He says that it's going to be considered open for 7 days. Rav Amila Shloshim someday for 30 days. This is going to be a discussion. Exactly, we're going to get to what the nafkaminas of these different days. Amar Naradai the Rav Sechaya said that when it comes to a woman who just given birth, Gimel Vazayin Lama, there's 3, 7, and 30. These days are important for us for different halachas. What are they? So now Gemara says Gimel Ben Amrat Tzichani Ben Amrat Tzichani. So for 3 days after she had given birth, we're going to say whether it says she needs it, whether she says I don't need it. Mechalin alas Shabbos, then we're going to violate Shabbos on her behalf because we assume she's a cholishes b'sachana. However, Zayin Amratucha Ani, if it was 7 days, then it would depend from 7 days until the 30 days. If she says I need it, mechalin alas Shabbos, then we'd violate Shabbos for her. No Tzichana, she said I don't need it explicitly. She said in mechalin alas Shabbos. We would not violate Shabbos. What about a situation where she doesn't say anything? We would just say where she doesn't need it, and she says where she does need it. What happens if she just says nothing? So the rush over there, paskins that we would violate Shabbos for that as well. Even if she doesn't assume it, we would assume something like that, and be makel to do malacha for her. And for 30 days, we assume even if she says, I need it. We wouldn't violate Shabbos for her, but we would do it through a Amir al-Nachri over here. Generally, there's a din derabanan, an Ezra derabanan of Amir al-Nachri over here for a chula she'im b'sakana. We are going to be Mekel. Because Ravula braid Ravila, as you see, Ravula send the Ravila. Demar culture chalol nasim and demar b'Shabbos. Any needs of a sick person may be done through a goy on Shabbos. According to Rav Nuna, he says demar Nuna. Dovar shein b'sakana umar l'nachar v'osem. When it comes to a person who is not a life threatening situation, but just sick, but he's sick in bed, in that situation, you can tell a goy to do malacha for him. Does this apply to just Amir al-Nachri, or does this apply for every din derabanan? It seems to be that the Ramban understood the Beis Yosef quotes the Rashba, the Beis Yosef quotes the Rashba, that yes, that this would apply to all malachas derabanan. It would allow you to violate malachas derabanan for the sake of a chola she'im bov sakana, even for a person who's not deathly ill, just any sick person. However, the Ran says, no, what are you talking about? We wouldn't accept that. The Ramban is upshar. What seems to be the quote in Shulchan Aruch is that if you do ayde shinoy, a din derabanan, an iser derabanan would be allowed to be violated with a shinoi in order for a chola she'in bo sakana. Okay, so that is a very big shaila. Others also explain when it comes to Rav Yehuda, when it talks about what's critical needs, that that's a very big shaila. That according to Rambam, Rav Yehuda's understanding that even if someone is not critically ill, if a person, in the case of someone who's critically ill, a malacha is allowed to be provided even if it's not considered as critical needs. So even if it's something that you don't necessarily need, that is going to be done. That's the fi the Rambam, that he seems to assume, like we said before, the Sfarim seems to go like this, is that hutra, that when it comes to biluch nefesh, is hutra, every malacha that's done for the chola, even if something he doesn't claim he needs, it's now considered a heter gamor to do on Shabbos. The Gemara continues, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Shmuel l'chaya shloshim yom. If a woman has given birth, there's going to be a limit for 30 days. The Gemara now says, l'may hachosah, what is the halacha regarding this? Amar Nerdai, l'tfila, that a person shouldn't go into the mikvah until after 30 days, because if she goes to the mikvah is to be freezing. They don't have heating like we have nowadays. So it would be very dangerous for her because she's considered weak for this 30 days. Amar Rabba, l'amar nela she'in ba'ayla ima. That's only where her husband's not with her, at home. Aval ba'ayla ima ba'ayla mechama. She's going to go home and have relations with her husband and assume that having a relationship, Rashi points out, that it will apparently warm her up and it will not be a cause for concern. As we see the ma'aseh, what happened to the daughter of Rav Chista, tefila begoyed. So what happened? Tefila begoyed. Tells the yomim shelo b'fnei ba'ila. So what happened? Vitzdanis. So she went into the mikvah the first within the 30 days, and she became very cold. She became very sick from that. So then they transported her on a bed. She was very sick, and they brought her to Rava to Pumbadisa. That was Rava was her husband, and so they were putting her to know that he would warm her up, and in which case she would feel better. And Rosh Hashanah sleep to pointed out when it comes to the din of fasting, when a pashas would hold like this also, is that Nishtanu Atava, either the Gemara assumed that that was the Matzias of that time, but when it comes to the Nishtanu Atava, I think for sure other person would agree with that also, is that, that's how could it be a woman for 7 days? I mean, a woman, Baruch Hashem, if they have an easy birth, a lot of times after 1 or 2 days, they're already feeling much better. They would not be in the parsha of even a chola, she's supposed to kind of for sure, but probably maybe just a stam chola for sure, wouldn't be as chamor as the dinim of the Gemara. Either way, the Gemara continues, Amar Vidomar Shmuel, Osin Medura Lechaya B'Shabbos. That the person is allowed to make a fire for a woman who has just given birth over here. So the Shaila over here in the Rishonim is that who are we discussing over here? We're discussing the woman who's past the 30 days, and that generally the Chiddush over here would be. Generally, we don't assume meaning after 7 days or after 30 days or just maybe just giving birth. So the l'shayla over here is exactly who Shmuel talking about. Either way, you're allowed to do this. And where it says sever minay, so they understood from this ruling l'chaya in l'chola lo, that only for a woman who has just given birth we would be allowed to do this. For just a general sick person, we would not be allowed to do this. And where it says also they understood from there that only this is during the winter, because winter is usually very cold. Therefore, you can light a fire. However, during the summer months, it's much hotter. You're not allowed to light a fire. So the girsa of lohi we don't have over here, but l'chora just if it's nice if you just assume like that, we're going to see over here that this is a rejection. Usually we don't write in the parentheses. Amar Rabbi Chiya, Amar Shmuel, ki is dumb v'nitzdan, and if someone bloodlet and it became cold, osel amadur, we see explicitly that for other types of cholim over here, you would be allowed to be mekil and light the fire. Afilu b'tkuvah samas, even a summer month, so this is against we had just quoted before. So we see that Shmuel ruled that someone above may only light a fire for a woman at given birth. He's referring not only to a woman to give her lav dafka, but other sick people as well. You'd be allowed to light the fire. And also the winter birth of the Mikshamim was lav dafka the summer months also. That's what comes out of over here. Mara says, now Shmuel tzalchulei tachta de shagas. Shmuel, one case of Shmuel had bloodlet, and they cut up a chair where this shaga wood. Rashi points out that wood of a cedar seems to be Erez. So it's a cedar wood, and they lit the fire with that. So Mar says Rav Yehuda, similar idea. Rav Yehuda talchalei porsa daina. There was the table of the Avnah wood to light the fire from when he would got sick after bloodletting. La Rabba talchalei sharshifa. When it comes to Rabba, they cut up a fire, a footstool to light the fire. Ramalei abaya the Rabba vahak arva ramam shem bal tashka. So he asks the question though. By cutting it up with a stool, there's a very good stool, and now you're cutting it up. For he thought maybe it wasn't enough of a reason, in which case you're violating the lacha of Baal Tashkas. Baal Tashkas literally, Pasuk right says, Ki Satsur al Ir. This is referring to Dafka when you're having a war, that you cut down a fruit tree, that is the Isser Dereisa of Baal Tashkas. Over here, the Gemara seems to indicate clearly that the Isser of Baal Tashkas would the Shaila on Dereisa, everyone agrees with Rabbanan, in general, wasting products is not a good thing. Shaila is a mamish of violation Dereisa if you throw out something that's usable, in general, the general prohibition of wasting. It seems from the Gemara over here clearly that the simple reading is that Baal Tashkas Midereisa is being violated over here. So he, what do you respond? I'm not destroying my body by the fact that I need it, and therefore it's something that I need, therefore it's not going to be a violation of Baal Tashkis. Lechora, that's again, maybe because he was only sick, that'd be the Shaila within Baal Tashkis. Can you destroy something for a constructive purpose for yourself? The Gemara says, so just a person should be careful, just like over here, a person should be careful to always sell the beams of his house, literally, to buy shoes for his feet. So now we just mentioned this agav of alach of hikis dam bein lamaliyachol yom kamarayim sharaglav yaspeklam tarchis uda. Similar idea. If one bloodline has nothing to eat, he should sell even the shoes that are on his feet to provide himself with money he receives to a requirement of a meal, because that's going to be more essential. So we see over here there are two chedushim. The first is that how important it is a person should have shoes, that we see over here. That's why the pshat of mafarshim bring down that when it comes to brachas hashachar, we say in the morning shasali called turkey. Why shasali is dafka referring to shoes? Because that's called turkey based on this gemara and Shabbos. That called turkey is referring to the person should sell everything to have shoes. That's the most basic fundamental need of a person, and you have to be careful to do anything you can to make sure, because it's very embarrassing if a person walks out based on the warm and that it's not a good thing for a person to be walking out. So the shaila over here is that the Achronim asked Rav Yashiv and others point out that the shaila in the Achronim is that generally we have a concept for a mitzvah d'oraisa, you only have to spend up to chumash. Over here we're telling you to spend on course basis to sell everything you have in order to have shoes on your feet. Why should that be any different than any mitzvah d'oraisa, which at most will tell you which is 1/5? Rav Yashiv is lav dafka, just telling you an eitzah, it's telling you how strong it needs to be, that you need to do everything you can to make sure you're not in that situation. Lav dafka doesn't mean halachically are going to tell you that you should spend even more than 20% of your money, to the last 20% of your money, to make sure that you have shoes. However, it is just pointed out that the Magen Avraham Siman Beis does seem to just quote this Gemara Stam without qualifying it. If he wanted to qualify it, like Rav Yashiv would say, Lechora, he should have told you. He quotes this Gemara and just says that this is Halacha. So Lechora, the Magen Avraham is assuming that you would have to sell everything in order to make sure that you have shoes for your feet. But either way, the Gemara was pointing out over here that Hayekis Dem, that's how we come up to this, that when it comes to bloodletting, that is even more chashuv than this, because it's extremely dangerous if you bloodlet and don't have food. So Gemara now asks, what exactly do you need to eat after you bloodlet to make sure that you're going to be healthy? Rav Amar Bas Rav says meat, and Shmuel Amar Yayin, Shmuel says you need to have wine. Rav Amar Bas Rav, Nafsha Chalaf Nafsha. Rav says that you dafka should have meat, because we know that meat is like a life, right? A person's the animal's body is meat when it comes to that, so therefore that's in place of your blood, in place of life, which is, we know that many times ki adamu nefesh, and nefesh is referred to the dam, so the blood over here is also nefesh chalaf nefesh when it comes to the fact that you're having meat. Ushmul amar yayin samuka chalaf samuka. The rabbi says that red wine is like the red wine is in place of the red blood, that that would be connected that, so that's why it's more chashuv. Then we're Siman Shinimsar, those are the name of the Murayim. We're going to be quoting the following statement. Shmuel Biyomad Avram Milsa, when Shmuel went to the procedure of bloodletting, Avilei Tavshila Tachachle. So he'd make for himself a dish of a cooked spleen. Apparently that's what he felt was very healthy for bloodletting. Rabbi Yochanan Shase Adanafik Tase Meune. Rabbi Yochanan would drink until he would smell so much it would come out of his ears. Rav Nachman Shase Adetavke Tachle. Rav Nachman would drink enough wine after bloodletting until his spleen would come extremely full of the wine. Rabbi Yosef Shase Adanafik Mardiva Silta, that Rav Yosef would drink enough wine after blooding until apparently the wine would come out of the incision where he had bloodlet. So the Gemara says, Rava Mehadir Achamra Bartalta Tarfe. Rava, he used to look for wine of a three-leaf wine. Rashi points out there's a type of vine that was 3 years old. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Rav Nachman Yitzchak said the Rabbanan, Rav Nachman says the Rabbanan, B'matusa Minaychu, so I beg of you to say the following. B'yomadei HaKaz, on the days where you're going to bloodline, Amar Rav Yitzchak, Nachman Iklu Legaman. Tell your wives that Rav Nachman is coming to visit us, in which case they're going to prepare a lot of food for you because it's healthy to make sure that you have a large meal. Is Rav Nachman telling you a lot of lie in this circumstance? Maybe it's Kuach Nefesh, he'll tell you a lot of lie. That's the Shaila over here. Maybe according to Rashi, it was just Amru Nachman the Gaban, Nachman is visiting without the word of Itaichu to you, so therefore he's just saying that in general that you guys should prepare a meal and not have to lie to your wives. Okay, that's different. Kirsas has a shayla, you're allowed to lie to your wife, or maybe something's a kana that you would be allowed to lie. The Kulu Arume Asire, and all of the general lying is going to be forbidden. Barma Ay Arma Dishari, except for the following, to not exactly lying, to be more deceitful, right? To be more deceitful. Mind the Abin Milsa Velo Shalai, so a person who undergoes a procedure of blood and he doesn't have money to buy wine and he lacks the fund, Lishko Zuzumakas, so he's allowed to take it a worn out, which is no longer valid anymore, so it's worthless. He's going to go to the store shop and he's going to go to seven wine shops at the time Shira Revisa, until he goes to each one. He's going to try to say, they usually give you a taste before you have it. He's going to taste it even though he has no intention of buying, because he has a coin that's not going to work, and then he's going to say, oh, I'm going to pay for this, and then they're going to say, oh wait, your coin doesn't work. And if he doesn't even have that one, that coin, so he should take seven black dates, rub them against his temples, and he should sleep in the sun, and that apparently would heal. Is it? There's a big shayla over here. Are you allowed to violate the Isser Dereisa over here? Even Pekuach Nefesh, there's a shayla about that. Based on other Gemaras, the Achronim want to say over here, maybe there's a raya that a person will be allowed to violate the Isser Dereisa of Gezel There's a shaila that whether you can violate this reis of gedel to then put yourself in a situation where you would save yourself. The mark continues. Avleit ashkecha l'shmol de ganav shem avleit. Apparently, some stargazer knew the things about astrology, so she saw Shmuel, so was sleeping in the sun. He says that how could it be that so bad come through? You were so smart. How is it that you're going to? You know that sun is very unhealthy. That's proven. A person who sits in the sun too much is very unhealthy. Amar lei yoma de hakaza, who explained that today is the day of bloodletting. Therefore, sleeping in the sun would be beneficial for him. Vilohi, and that was just so that was not his answer. He was just saying that to get away. Apparently, there's one day a year that apparently having exposure to the sun was actually beneficial, and he didn't want to let him know that. Yoma denafla betikvas. Tom was planning the day of the summer months. Visavar some day in the summer month. Visavar lo igla yilei. I mean, he's going to say, I'm not going to tell him. It's interesting why Shmuel didn't want the goy to know, but he apparently didn't want the goy to know this. So then, hekel beruach tamasha siman. That's the siman for the mnemonics. Remember that hemshichel is teachings. Rav Shmuel da amri tarvaya. Rav Shmuel da amri tarvaya. Rav Shmuel said the following: kol amekil besudas akazas dam. Someone who is not careful about the following procedures after bloodletting, then makilam rezosam in a shemayim. That a person is going to be lax about giving him his needs to eat. Veomer lo al chaya vuleinuchas ani achosto. Rav Shmuel is going to say he doesn't care about his own life, I'm going to show about him. I'd say the same thing about anyone who's mezalzel and zakanos of, let's say, the Mishrat Abiyut in Eretz Yisrael. People aren't listening to health ministries in Eretz Yisrael. Those who aren't listening to the CDC in America, then I would say the same thing. Hashem Baruch Hu is going to say the same thing. You're not careful for your life, then I'm going to make sure that everything's okay. A person has to be very careful. Again and again, all the Rabbanim are saying this. I'm not sure why. There are a lot of people, unfortunately, are not listening. Rav Shmuel, Damri Tarvayah, Rav Shmuel both say, Haiman David Milsa, someone who undergoes a procedure of bloodletting, lo leisev hecha dekarech zika, shouldn't sit where it's windy. Dilma shafi leyumna, because what's going to happen, the blood is going to take out too much blood from him. And welcome the Aravisa. He's going to have only a bare minimum of Aravisa of blood. That we know that's the minimum share a person is going to have to be able to live. Because then it's going to be very windy and it's going to come to you and it's going to be life threatening situation. It's not going to be good. Shmuel would be accustomed to go procedure bloodletting in a house that apparently would have 7.5 brick thick brickness in order so that it would be insulated very well and wouldn't get cold from outside. One day he did it and he felt very weak. But what happened? But it's one of the little bricks was happy, not even half a brick of a was gone, and therefore that thickness was missing, and therefore he became sick from that. Rav Shmuel Damat Tavai, Rav Shmuel Simei, Haiman David Milsa, someone undergoes a procedure of bloodletting, lito midi v'hadra lipok. He should eat something first, and then he should leave his house. Dilo time midi, if he doesn't eat anything, ipaga b'shifcha yarka ape. If he eats someone, if he sees a dead body, his face is going to turn green. Ipaga mad the katal nash. If he sees someone who's a murderer, mis, he's going to die. Ipaga if he meets turning on to the next. Someone about b'davar acher. If he sees something like davar acher, Rashi points out is a pig, is a chazir. If he burns into a pig, kasha davar acher. Apparently, if you see that, then it's going to lead to davar acher, which is tzaras. Here, I don't think it refers to the Torah, a din of tzaras. Rather, it just means over here that you're going to get a disease, a skin disease similar to that of tzaras, if you see a pig when you didn't bloodlet properly. The Gemara says, Rav Shmuel, Rav Shmuel both say, I mind the oven milsa. Someone who undergoes the bloodletting, lisha porta v'adu likum, he should sit a little and then he should get up. The Gemara, chamish d'varim korvin l'misi yosrim n'chaim. There are things that would bring a person to death more than life. What are these five things? Ve'luhen achav v'amad. If you eat and stand up immediately, things. Dietetic also is proven that a person should not be doing that. Shasta v'amad, if someone drinks and stand up immediately. Yashin v'amad, if you sleep and stand up immediately. Ekiz dam v'amad, that's also, by the way, when we say modani, it's lach l'maisa, a person says modani, should wait a split second, a few seconds, before you actually pop up. Ideally, it's gabar kari, it's lach l'shonarach, first simon l'shonarach, but the Magen Avraham points out, the thing is based on this Gemara, that a person is not supposed to pop up right away because it's not healthy. You should wait a second, only then should you pop up, at least gabar kari, and then get up. Yashin v'amad, ekiz dam v'amad, if a person is bloodletting and then stand up. Shimish mitazov v'amad, if someone has relations and gets up right away, apparently all of these things are unhealthy. Amar shmo, por sedama kol tosin yomin. The time for bloodletting is every 30 days. And when the person reaches the stages of between his two life, meaning Rashi points out that when you reach the age of 40, then you should decrease how often you're bloodletting. Because it's dangerous. And then when you reach the next stage of life, you should decrease even more after that point. Rashi points over there, would be once every 3 months, after reaching age of 60. V'yamar Shmuel, and Shmuel says, Por se dedama chad b'shabasa arba amale shabasa. The time for bloodletting is either on a Sunday, Wednesday, or Friday. V'al sheni v'chamishi, lo, but not on a Monday or Thursday. D'amar mar, mishi yesh lo z'chus avos, yakiz b'yam sheni v'chamishi. Because dafka, someone who has z'chus avos, who has a holy parent, that person could bloodlet on a Thursday. Why would that be? Why is it dangerous for everyone else? Because, shabest in shamala, shamata shavakiacha, because the heavenly court and the courts below are also judging on the time of sheni v'chamishi. Shin, Rashi points out, therefore, that's a Yom HaDin. We know that Ezra Masakin on Monday and Thursday, we're wearing Ksubas over there, right? That based on Shemim Masakin on Mondays and Thursdays, Mitakana Ezra Ve'elach, that was Mondays and Thursdays, so therefore it's Yom HaDin B'lamata and Mata, your bonus are going to remember it, and therefore a person should be careful not to do something that's dangerous on a Monday and Thursday. Just interesting to point that out. Magnav Ram points out, I think it's regarding saying Halachos Tachan. Remember that he says that a Monday and Thursday is considered a day of Rachamim, therefore we increase our Tachan and things like that. The Pashas, I saw the Achronim says, I was happy to see this as a kasha that the Gemara seems to be upset based on Rashi that it's Yom HaDin and we're going to our actions are going to remember Lav Dafka, it's our day of Rachamim. It could be that we mischaim l'fnei Hashem because we want to have Rachamim, a day where we're being judged, but we know that like Rosh Hashanah is similar. It's a day of judgment. Lav Dafka does have a lot of Rachamim associated with it, and I think it's also not a raya from the fact that let's say the Shulchan Aruch writes about and Tosas already right mentioned in Bahab the fast on Monday, Thursday, and Monday. The Dafka days of Monday and Thursday is a fast because it could be we know we're being judged, so Dafka should fast on a day we know being judged. So that was interesting. There's Lav Dafka because Monday there's a special time of Rachamim. It could be the day we're being judged, and you want to be fasting to have that zchus if you're going to be fasting anyway during the week. Either way, the Gemara says, "B'talda b'shabbosam." My time. Why should someone not be bloodletting on a Tuesday? Because b'shum the kaimalei me'idim b'zave. Because apparently the way that the celestial things, I don't know exactly how this works at all, but it comes to astrology, that is going to be the influence of Mars that comes out is going to be during the days of on Tuesday. The Gemara says ma'ala shabbosam nami kaimalei b'zave. But on a Friday, the influence of Mars also is around, and yet people still do bloodletting. That's one of the days that Shmuel allows you to bloodlet. The Gemara says kaven d'dar shabir rabim shomer sam Hashem. Because people literally walked on it and they trampled on it and they've done this thing. It's a common practice. As we see, it's not so dangerous. Then shomer sam Hashem is going to protect the fools. And then we see that something apparently Moshe brings from here, that something in generally the overwhelming majority of people are doing and it's not considered dangerous, that would not be considered a problem of Savik B'Ganav, which is something that you shouldn't be doing and not be considered putting yourself into Sakana, because it's something that people is perceived as not something that's dangerous anymore, and therefore people are doing it, and therefore it's something to worry about. If you are worried about it, there's supposed to be something together, I think, based on the Chafetz Chaim, that even if it's something that's very unlikely to happen, if you're worried about it personally and you think that you're worried, then for you it might be a problem of Savik Sakana. Either way, the market continues on Shmuel. But when it comes to Wednesday, that's also the fourth day of the month, Dal do Arbeitzar, or if you have the fourth day of the week, or the 14th day of the month, Dal do Esri Arba, or if you have the fourth day of the week, which is also the 24th day of the month, Dal do Leik Arba Basre, or the fourth day of the month, where we don't have 4 days after the in the month, in Sakansa. And if any of those cases, it's going to be a Sakana to do bloodletting. Mark is Rosh Chodesh, Rosh Hashanah, Lo Chulsha. When it comes to the Rosh Chodesh, and the next day is considered a weekday to do it. Shlishi Lo Sakana, third day of the month, is considered dangerous to do bloodletting. Mali Yom Tava, the Chulsha. When it comes to the day before Yom Tov, that's also causing weakness. Mali Yom Adatzar, the Sakana. The Erev Shavuos is considered very dangerous. Because Rav Kolmi Aliyah Shabbos about that, the Rav made a zero that you should never do bloodletting because of the fact that Erev Shavuos you shouldn't be doing bloodletting. Why shouldn't be bloodletting on Erev Shavuos? Because Mishum Yom Tava Adatzar is because of Shavuos. Why the Nafik Bei Zikos Shmei Tavuach? Because on Erev Shavuos there's a wind that comes out, and his name is Tavuach. Literally, is Shecht. The Elo Kiblu Yisrael Torah, because he comes out and he says that Yisrael didn't come to Sarah, have a Tavuach lose a Bissar the Demayim. The wind has come out and going to Shecht them, and therefore every year this wind comes back. I saw a beautiful memory from Ravelo Pian. He says over here, based on this, that the Maimar that comes out, a lot of people bring this down, that, right? This farm bring down the famous idea that when we have the Chag of, it's not just a Zikaron that we remember, let's say, Shavuos. It's not a Zikaron that we remember Pesach. Like, it's Mamash the day of, let's say, Pesach is the day of our freedom. We Mamash are coming out of our own personal Gullus. The same thing on Shavuos. We are accepting the Torah. We are Makabal the Torah. We call it Kabbalah the Torah every year. It's a new Kabbalah the Torah. It brings a Raya from this Gemara. This Gemara says that Zika, that wind that was around in the day of Matan Torah, Erev Matan Torah, comes out every single year. To remind us that that's what he was doing, that Zika comes out again. A beautiful thing, a proof again, a nice raya from the Gemara that we're reliving the experience of Matan Torah. It's not a Zika, we don't just remember things. We don't have holidays to remember. We have holidays to relive. So the Gemara continues, Amar Shmuel, Achal Chita, Vehikis Dam. If someone ate wheat and then bloodlet, Loikis, Ela Oso Chita, then he has not bloodlet only for the sake of the wheat, meaning it's not healthier, you're not getting any more benefit from that. Vani Mila, their food, that's only if he's doing it for therapeutic healthy reasons. Aval, Oakley Makel, if he's just using it to lighten his excessive body, then it would be okay, that would be accomplished even if you have wheat afterwards. Hamekis Dam Shtiel, the altar, Achila Ad Chatzimah. Someone has bloodletting, he's drinking, he wants to drink immediately, so then he should be eating and then wait the time until he walks half a meal, and then only that should he do it after. Gemara says, Yibaylu Shtiel, the altar, Mile. So when it comes, they add a question, if you're drinking immediately after bloodletting is beneficial, but after the meal immediately is going to be unhealthy, maybe it's not both. Take what the Gemara says, we don't know. Hey, by the way, we have a question now. When it comes to eating exactly half a meal amount, that's good, but dafka less and more is going to be unhealthy. Maybe it's not specifically healthy, but it's not going to be unhealthy either. The Gemara answer is take, we don't know this, unresolved also. Rav is announced, 100 quarts for Zeus should should buy them. Maya Rosh Bazuza. Someone 100 heads for a zuz, you should buy them. Maya Safame Velo Klum. 100 animals, lips cost nothing. Winning one should buy them, take them, they're going to no benefit for health reasons. Amar Yosef, Rosh is the same. Kivinabe Rav Huna Yoma to Pagre Be Rabbanim. The Rabbanim used to come, the day the Rabbanim were lazy to come to the Beis Midrash. Rashi explains it. They were lazy to come to the Beis Midrash. Amar Ina Yoma to Shtamfi Me. Apparently, they had the Sunday morning jitters also. Or whatever, Friday, whatever you're in there to sell. Whatever day it was, people were lazy to come to the Beis Midrash. Or Ben Azman, any other time like that. So today's people just speaking. I don't understand what he was saying. Now that I've heard that people are being lazy, meant today a worthless day, we have accomplished nothing. That was made just open lips, so it was a waste of time. Because people aren't going to the basement just for koshin and tavar. Now going back to the last part of the Mishnah, Mishnah said you're allowed to tie the umbilical cord to a newborn Shabbos to get rid of it. And Mishnah said you're allowed to cut it off as well. And Mishnah says, Tanur Abanan, koshin and tavar, we're allowed to tie the umbilical cord on to a newborn on Shabbos. Rabbi Yossi Amar Avchos, and Rabbi Yossi says you're allowed to cut it off. V'tomnin hashilya k'dei sheyechem avlad, and you're allowed to insulate the placenta so that the newborn will be warm. Based on the proposal, it seems to be that this is all segula thing. We have no idea what exactly this is. Apparently, that was type of segula that they used to do in the time of the Gemara. Amar Rav Shimon Gamliel, benos malachim tonus b'salam shel shemen. So when on Shabbos we're not allowed to, apparently they would used to bury it in the ground, and that would be something that would apparently help the vlad, this umbilical cord. So what about on Shabbos where you can't bury in the ground because of the iser of taking over the ground? So Gemara says, what do they do? So they would put it in bowls of oil. Benos Hashir, Masav Gim Shel Semer, with the wealthier daughters, they would do it in wool. And Benos Aniyim, poor people in Bemochin, they used to put it in type of rags. The Gemara continues, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav, Rav Huna, Amar Rav. Halach Rabbi Yossi, Halach HaFaz, Rabbi Yossi, who says that we are allowed to cut off the umbilical cord on Shabbos. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav, Amar Rav, Modim Chacham, Rabbi Yossi, V'tabar Shel Shnei, Tinoko Shel Choschen, the Tanakama would agree to Rabbi Yossi when it comes to the umbilical cord when you're having twins on Shabbos, that you'd be allowed to cut it off. Why? Because the twin newborns would be able to pull one from each other and it would get them, put them in sakana, so therefore even they would agree that that's sakana. The Gemara continues them. Vemar of Nachman, Rav Kula Omer, Parshas Tochicha, Osim Lachai B'Shabbos. Whatever it mentioned, Parshas Tochicha and Pasuk in Cheskel, we learn a lot of halachas with regards to what to do on a newborn on Shabbos. What is the pasuk? Station number Malad Zecha. Biyom Malad Zoscha Lo Keras Sharecha. Sharecha with regards to when you're having birth, the umbilical cord was not cut. V'mayim Malad Zecha L'Mishi V'Melach L'Mlachta V'Mesal Lo Chulalta. Pasuk says you're not washed, also you weren't salted, or you weren't swaddled at all. So the Gemara says Malad Zecha L'Mlachta V'Mekan Shalom Demas V'Lad V'Shabbos. So the fact that it says in birth on the day of birth, we're not here, you're allowed to deliver a baby on Shabbos. Lo Keras Sharecha Mekan Shechos Gun Tovah Shabbos. So the umbilical cord wasn't cut. They allowed to cut the umbilical cord on Shabbos, and then because Lora Ruchatz, there's a mission Mikan Shemolchin of Shabbos. Over here, we see that you're allowed to smooth the skin. We see that you're allowed to wash the newborn on Shabbos. The Melech Lamlach Mikan Shemolchin of Lavar Shabbos. Over here, they're salting the baby on Shabbos. VeHatel. So we allowed it, you weren't swaddled properly, you allowed to swaddle the baby in order to make it healthy as well. We learn from this psukim the dinim of the health for the baby. From here we see we finish that. When we finish the next parak about Bris Mila, beautiful Yanim, we'll pick up with there the Mirza Hashem tomorrow.